Wait, what?
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think this is us. Hi.
Hey.
All right.
Throw it out there.
I'm going to put it out there. Watch this. You fucking ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
One piece of advice.
I got a piece of advice for you, people.
Be honest.
Be honest.
He knows more than you can imagine.
It's the Matrix.
The Matrix.
At last. Welcome, Neo. As you no doubt have guessed, I am Morpheus.
He is Morpheus.
No.
And Neo.
The honor is mine. Please, come, sit.
We got a lot to talk about this week, and we're going to stuff it all in.
But we're going to start with arguably the greatest, well, one of the greatest science fiction action films of all time.
Fucking agreed.
The Matrix.
Right now, you're
nothing.
A bit like Alice.
Nothing like it.
No.
Tumbling down the rabbit hole.
1999.
Easily never seen anything. I can see it in your eyes. Quite like this before.
Why do you think that this film was so successful? And you know, as far as story, or what do you think?
My feeling has always been on this movie that. The biggest reason, I think I knew it more so, especially compared, once I saw the sequels to the movie, that
let me tell you why you're here.
This film, I think when it begins, you're in the shoes of Neo, that the Wachowskis were very careful. I saw Bound, I respected that movie, loved fucking Gina Gershon after that. And that showed a lot of technical prowess. I mean, you knew they were gifted, but then The Matrix started getting advertised, and I saw it opening night. I sat in the theater on my own without any friends by me. I bought the ticket by myself, and the theater was packed. And everybody sat there in the theater, and we watched that opening scene, which apparently Joel Silver had. Joel Silver wanted to produce the film, and he had to convince Warner Brothers that it was a good idea. So he told them, give me some money to make the movie. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We'll give you, like, I think $10 or $15 million to make this movie, because the concepts that you're talking about are crazy. They're crazy for unproven directors like the Wachowskis. So what they ended up doing was they took all of that money and they made a 10-minute prologue to the film. And that's the opening that you see with Carrie Ann Moss, where she does the bullet time, the famous bullet time thing, and Agent Smith, a wonderful...
I don't know. Do you think that's considered
weaving,
bullet
Hugo
time?
Weaving.
Her running on the wall, you mean?
I thought that was part... Yeah, I thought that was bullet time. Her, not her running on the wall, her jumping up when the guard came in and the camera panning around her. The cameras panning around her. Super fast. But that whole sequence with her running across the rooftops, diving through the window to the bottom floor, flipping around with the guns, that whole opening sequence, they used all of the money to make that opening sequence. And that is what they showed to Warner Brothers and said, this is what the movie will look like if you give us the budget. And based on that, I want to say Warner's gave them $60 million and said, fuck it, go for it. So then they went nuts. It's an ambitious story, right? But really what I think the core element about this film is that brings us in as an audience, is that we are Neo.
Yeah.
We go along with Neo on the ride. More obvious to us when we watch the sequels that don't attach us directly to the main protagonist. like this film does.
Yes.
You know, this one, we're...
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, I agree because the Matrix one was a film that was grounded to reality. You were, like you said, you're taking this ride with Neo. It's the real world. Then all of a sudden they throw at you. It's not the real world. And you're sucked into this, like, amazing, come-to-life science fiction, cyberpunk comic book that just explodes on the screen in all these amazing images. The director of photography, the cinematographer, Bill Pope, amazing.
Man.
The
amazing.
Guy, he did the scenes in Bound. I mean, some of the scenes in Bound are amazing. I mean, he also was part of Army. He did the cinematography for Army of Darkness, Darkman.
Darkman.
Yeah. Army of Darkness, Darkman. He did Bound. He did The Matrix. I mean, this is like he did Spider-Man 2.
Which was the best of that trilogy.
I mean, the scene on the train with the...
Excellent. That was beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
That was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
The guy is so talented.
He's very talented. Yeah. And the whole this whole movie was... I mean, it... So, we're talking... The last three movies that we've spoken... This is the third. The last two movies we talked about changed the face of cinema. I think Fight Club did. Back to the Future.
Hell yeah.
Elevated the face of cinema. And I think The Matrix, unquestionably, maybe more than the other two, changed the face of cinema. It
and
altered.
So cool.
I think the spiritual undertones to it really spoke to me, but it's listening to things like this from Morpheus.
Yeah.
And the real one.
Not knowing the difference between the real world and the dream world, and the fact that there is an alternative world going on. It's a dream that I think that all of us have, especially movie watchers. I think that's why we liked people like me, people that like films like this. We all want to feel like Neo. We all wish that there was that one thing that... That guy that approached us, or that woman that approached us, like Trinity does in the club, and calls us out and says, "You are the one." It's maybe it's that super id complex that we all have, but we all want to be that superhero. We all want to be,
of course,
we want that calling. And this film, this journey that we take with Neo, we are him. We go through it. We awaken to reality, and it's disturbing.
And
at
just
first.
To say to have Carrie Anne Moss. How beautiful and amazing.
She's gorgeous.
Amazingly hot she looked in this film.
She looks so
to
great.
To come up to him and tell him,
yeah.
Come with me. You're the one.
And he sees her as, he's like, you're Trinity? And it's a great line,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she's famous.
Yeah, she's famous. I thought you were a guy. Yeah,
yeah.
Most guys do. It's great. It's a great line.
One fantastic thing after another
it
revealed
is.
In this film. Just
style
keep being revealed.
Of it and the...
Yeah.
And the whole look of it just seems so crazy when he's looking out. We're looking at brief clips here. We watched the movie before we sat down to do this, and we're rewatching it again actually a bit here as we talk to you. Just the whole point of the pods when he wakes up and
fantastic.
Those spiders come to and he sees the pods all around him with the human beings all asleep, and he doesn't know that could easily be a dream to him.
Yeah.
But It's a fucking nightmare, he realizes. Reality is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been explained to him yet. But
and the way it's brought to life by these filmmakers, the visuals, visually stunning. I mean, some of the ideas they say were taken from the filmmaker Otomo Katsuhiro, who did Akira, and a lot of the imagery and stuff was put together by Michel Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
And I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
And he's amazing.
Yeah,
he's,
these are such talented people all brought together to create one of the most amazing sci-fi films of all time.
I'm going to say that I thought so then, especially by the end of the movie. Maybe we can wait to go there, but by the conclusion of the film and then months later, I remember being very aware that this movie had it not only taken me on a journey, but it had accomplished it just had accomplished so much. It was just such a well-defined first, second, and third act.
Yeah.
I didn't need the sequels. I don't think that anybody did. I think that the movie stood great on their own.
We all wanted them, but when they came out, we were like,
Yeah, I don't know.
Some really great scenes in them, but all together, they weren't The Matrix, which...
They weren't.
Fantastic.
No, it wasn't that same journey you were taking. You weren't Neo anymore. Now Neo was this superhuman guy, and there were all these other subplots involved. It was almost like the original Star Wars trilogy and then George Lucas's next trilogy. It was whereas we could identify with a lot of that original trilogy, except for Jedi, which I think sucks cock. But then you go over to that next trilogy that he gives you, and it's just some digital craziness.
I just want to say, you just said the Return of the Jedi sucks cock.
Well, you know what? No. You know what it is? You know what it is? I got to take that back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the Ewoks suck cock. Now, this is why, and I'm going to tell you. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Chewbacca. What is he?
He's a Wookiee.
What is he?
He's a Wookiee.
He's a fucking Wookiee. Okay, so what was Endor supposed to be?
The midget version of the Wookiees.
No.
Sorry, the little people. I didn't mean to say that, but I'm saying it.
I'm not editing that out.
The small people.
The little people.
Of the Wookiee race.
But
there aren't small people.
I think I've misled you down this path, and I've
Thank you. I
set you up, and I didn't mean to do that.
That's okay. But
listen, let's go back a little bit. This was the point of my question to you.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Of my statement, it was supposed to be Revenge of the Jedi. It was supposed to be a planet of Wookiees.
Okay.
But to tone it down, that's when the sellout began. You know, you had such a hardcore empire.
When you were a kid, you loved Return of the Jedi. I remember. You had a Return of the Jedi party.
I'm going to snuff you out.
I know.
I'm going to snuff you out.
Well.
How dare you?
That's how long I've
known you. What have you done to me?
This is number three right now.
I'm going to tell you something, old boy.
Yes, sir, Wes.
You're going down. You're going downtown.
Listen.
You know what? Maybe I liked it when I was fucking 8 years old, but as I grew older and became more knowledgeable in cinema and
don't lose the magic.
Yeah, but what magic? I mean,
are you kidding?
Look, there are such beautiful dark moments in that film with the Emperor and Luke and his father, and I think that scene at the end, it always gets me a little teared up when.
Come on, the opening on Tatooine. I'm sorry. You tear up at the end when they're celebrating on the Ewok planet?
No. What I tear up on is when fucking Darth, you know, really Anakin, let's be honest, he's becoming back. He's becoming Anakin again. His son has brought love back into his heart.
Right.
When he throws the fucking Emperor down that chasm, look, it's the same outfit, right? It's the same mask we've been looking at for two other movies.
Yes.
But for some reason, it looks sad. For some reason, it looks empathetic. It looks like he cares for his son.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And as he's watching this evil, wicked, the most wicked emperor in the known galaxy, torture and kill his son, right? He turns,
right,
and that spark of goodness in him gets back, and he kills the Emperor and turns his back on the dark side,
protecting
of the
his son,
and he protects his son.
Meanwhile, the dark side is so powerful, and
it is, and he's all fucked up when he takes that helmet off, and then he's got a British accent. I don't know why, but anyway,
but Darth Vader means dark father. The words Darth Vader means dark father.
Okay, so you're saying Vader is father, translated in...
I can't believe I don't know.
But, I saw you going to go to Google Translate there.
Yeah.
Should we translate
it? I'm not going to research it because this is the deal.
Tell me.
We were discussing The Matrix because it is one of the greatest science fiction films of
all
time.
Okay, yeah, let me go back to my thought.
But look what it brought us to.
Just remind me to go back to my thought.
It brought us to Star Wars, which proves that Star Wars...
Oh, no doubt.
As a whole,
Empire Strikes Back is an amazing
science fiction story of all time.
Empire is fucking amazing.
And we are two of the biggest geeks on the planet at this moment. And this is our third podcast.
Fucking right,
I'm old boy.
Fuck,
this is Wes.
I'm Wes.
And
This is the Western Old Boy Chronicles.
Exactly. And we are doing what we do. Doing just venting what we do. About movies.
Venting about movies.
Because we are.
We're celebrating them. We're movie fanatics.
And we're freaking passionate as hell.
And we're you want to know what time it is, people? It's 4 in the fucking morning, man.
4, yeah.
And we're giving you our 4:23 in the morning. My wife, his fiance, asleep in the other room.
Maybe
we are
not.
Here. Well,
maybe,
they're not going to be sleeping for very long after we start going. But tell you what, man, we are committed. And we are.
Yeah.
This is the mountaintop we are yelling our praise from.
And we're going to start the next part of the show. We're going to talk about an amazing trailer that just hit. It's called Black Mass. It's Johnny Depp.
Well, I got to cut you off here now and just for 2 seconds and complete my thought.
Oh,
because
sure.
As I've listened to the last few episodes, I've noticed that I've gone from one thought and not completed it at all. And then as I'm listening, I'm thinking, Jesus, that's about 70 thoughts that I brought up, started, and didn't complete. I'm going to complete this one, goddammit.
Go for it.
I think that The Matrix is so good, it should have been nominated for Best Picture and fucking won that year.
Hear, hear.
Okay, because I don't remember what did. It was after Titanic had done its thing. It was 2 years later. But yeah, I don't know. 99?
Yeah.
I don't know what won that year. Maybe English Patient was 95. So I think
I hope
six.
It wasn't The English Patient. It,
Traffic, I think, was 2000.
Because I think that The English Patient... Oh.
Traffic was 2000. What the fuck was 99?
Well, what else were you going to say? You think it should
have just think it should have been nominated for Best Picture. That's how good. Sci-fi doesn't get recognized that way. I understand that, but that's a closed-minded view to have of this film. It's not just a sci-fi film. There's so much happening there. There's so much spirituality. There's so much beauty to it. And by the end of the film, you and I were discussing before, when Neo no longer sees the fake world, okay, the Matrix,
yeah.
You know, when he no longer sees that world as inhabited by physical beings and physical space, but he actually sees it, he sees it as code. So he is no longer trapped within it. He's no longer seduced by it. He has completely separated from the Matrix.
Yeah.
And he sees it in code, and which enables him to break the code and to come back to life, right? We were talking before. You were saying that Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus, awesome performance as Morpheus, defining. Career defining.
Thank God it wasn't Sean Connery.
Well, why? What would he have sounded like, by the way, if he
said, Neo, I'm going to teach you some kung fu that I learned in Wales. Something like that. Yeah. No. Thank God.
You sound good.
Thank God.
You do a good impersonation.
Oh, shit.
I love
that. Catherine Zeta-Jones has a great ass. Sorkin Trotman, a wonderful ass.
I love your impersonation of him.
Sick.
Fucking great. So I love Shawnee.
Oh my God, he's great.
Have you ever taken a blood oath, Mr. Nash? Well, you have now.
What are you prepared to do?
Everybody knows where the liquor is. This is a raid.
That's fantastic.
Oh,
fantastic.
He's a fucking man.
But that year... Best Picture.
Okay, yeah. What was it?
American Beauty.
Well, it's a great Sam Mendes and our introduction to Sam, and this is better than fucking American Beauty.
Oh, for sure.
People are still talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, it was up against The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
The Insider, Michael Mann.
Yeah, no.
The Green Mile.
Come on, dude. What's going
Frank Darabont. Good movies. Good movies.
Decent.
But not better than The Matrix.
I don't think
just.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I don't
know. Just not better than The Matrix.
No, they're not. American Beauty is great. That's amazing. But I think Road to Perdition. I remember seeing that for the first time.
Sam Mendes. That's what we're talking now. Sam Mendes.
I know. Okay, so we've gone there, and I think that's a good thing.
How many original thoughts? How many thoughts do you want to complete with?
I'm going where I got to go here, man. I mean, that's what happens with you and I. And I got to say, Sam Mendes is fucking badass.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Did we talk about Skyfall last week? We tried.
I don't think we did.
Okay. Well, I just think what he did with Skyfall was amazing. I think what he did with Jarhead was great. But it's Road to Perdition, really. When I first saw it, I remember seeing I remember when you first saw the adverts for it, you knew Tom Hanks was about to be a bad guy. He was a gangster, and then the movie opens, and I remember him being really quiet and selling Jennifer Jason Leigh's wife, and then his family gets fucking wiped out.
Well, he's not so much a bad guy as he is just a bad motherfucker.
Well,
I mean, you got to say it in the words of Tarantino. You're right.
You
got to say it.
Well, is it Tarantino or is it Clarence Worley?
Well, Tarantino wrote those words.
Well,
And Tarantino is Clarence Worley in spirit and soul.
You're right.
He is. That's him. You got to know.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that movie actually, Road to Perdition, was a retelling of
Coming Home in a Body Bag?
Shogun Assassin.
Oh, Shogun
the Assassin. Samurai film, Shogun Assassin.
I thought you meant Body Bag. Body Bags 2?
Don't be a wise guy.
Okay, sorry.
That didn't even come out yet.
Dick Ritchie!
Body Bags 2 is not out yet. It's going to come out this summer, hopefully. One
of
the summer
blockbusters. Got more taste than my dick.
Awesome. So, we got to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
We got to talk about
Black. You're an
actor,
motherfucker. Ass.
Right, exactly.
What is going on with this movie?
Johnny Depp.
Oh yeah,
plays Whitey Bulger. We're gonna play that trailer.
I'm a moron. Let's watch the trailer. I don't know who Whitey is.
Whitey Bulger.
I've heard the name
James Joseph Whitey Bulger Jr.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he was a convicted murderer, and I don't know if he was a boss of organized crime, but I think he was. According to this trailer, you definitely see that he was a boss.
What was the story with who directed this guy? This film here.
This film is that Scott, I think Scott Cooper.
Okay.
Scott Cooper is his name. Yeah.
Do we know anything else he's done here?
Oh God, dude. He did Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges and also did Out of the Furnace.
Oh wow.
One of the most underrated films.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
That's hardcore.
2013,
man.
Christian Bale, Casey Affleck,
wow.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is fantastic.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't see the movie, but I can tell you that Pearl Jam let them use release for the fucking
trailer.
Oh,
when that song came on in the beginning of the film.
That's a big deal, dude.
Oh, I was.
It's a big deal. That's one of Pearl Jam's, that's one of the best Pearl Jam songs ever written.
Yeah.
And I'm a Pearl Jam fucking fanatic, dude.
That's fantastic.
Saying a lot.
But let's check this fucking trailer out.
All right, so let's watch the trailer.
Whitey
Bulger. We got Johnny Depp.
And
Sam Cooper, said?
No, Scott Cooper
Scott
directed
Cooper,
it.
Scott Cooper, Black Mass, Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here's the trailer.
Check it
out. And I haven't seen it before,
you gotta
so
listen to this.
Let's listen up.
What did you marinate the steak in? Because it's out of this world. You're killing me with
Johnny Depp?
Ah, amazing.
It's a family secret.
That's Johnny Depp.
You gotta tell me that. What's the secret?
Jesus,
come
fuck.
On, you could do it. That is one of the best goddamn steaks I ever had in my life.
Jesus Christ.
Ever. What's the family secret recipe?
It's ground garlic.
Listen,
a little bit of soy.
That's it.
That's it.
I thought it was a family secret.
It's your recipe.
No. Said to me, this is a family secret, and you gave it up to me, boom, just like that.
Holy fuck.
You spill the secret family recipe today, maybe you spill a little something about me tomorrow.
What the fuck, dude?
Amazing.
I was just saying that
you were just saying gets people sent away. Just saying.
People
got me a 9-year stretch in Alcatraz. You understand?
Yeah, awesome.
You need to see this. People.
Just saying.
You can
get you buried real quick.
You've never seen Johnny Depp look like this.
Yes.
Look at his face.
Holy fucking God. Joel Edgerton, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my God, it's insane, yeah.
This is a powerhouse, people. Oh, that's a trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a trailer.
Kevin Bacon, Adam Scott, Peter Sarsgaard.
Sarsgaard.
Let me tell you something. I'm looking at Johnny Depp. He looks like Michael Ironside. From Total Recall.
So now he's got these contact lenses that are in.
Oh my God!
What the chilling. Motherfuck, dude? That was insane.
That is chilling. Yeah, I mean, it just looks great.
It looks fantastic.
The trailer is by far one of the best trailers. They shouldn't show another scene from that movie.
They should not.
They should just leave it
like
that.
They should leave it like that. And
boom,
not,
true
no
story.
No second trailer, no third trailer, no teaser, no more coming trailer.
That's it.
So he's got these contact lenses in, and his eyes are like, what, green? Or
I don't know. He just looks...
Dude, he looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People, trust us. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Get on that. What the... what?
This thing. I shut it off.
So old boy is fucking with his phone. Yeah, and
I'm old.
People.
I'm an old boy.
Huh?
Well,
yeah. Well, you know what? He's wearing a badass Breaking Bad t-shirt
fuck
right
yeah.
now.
Breaking Bad, baby.
Breaking Bad. I'm the one who knocks.
It.
Yeah, how could you not? I know.
I know.
So do I, bitch.
Yo, look, speaking of mob films, at the Tribeca Film Festival.
I'm sorry, dude. That was an awesome trailer.
Tell me about it. I told you. I'm
sorry.
Glad that we got
what
to watch it
fuck?
Like this together.
He was so amazing. You don't even know it's him at first.
Yeah, it's like, and it's not some... character he's doing in what's his name film, the one he's always in, who, you know, don't get me wrong, great director Tim Burton, but
yeah, no, right,
this
no, right,
is
right,
the
right,
real
right,
deal
right, right.
Yeah,
no,
this
is
the real deal.
This is definitely the real fucking deal. Oh wow,
wow.
That rocked my face off.
Totally.
That was insane.
Totally.
All right, go on. You were saying
Tribeca Film Festival. It was today.
Okay.
Which today's date, I don't know.
Today's 20 fucking something.
Yeah, the
26th.
April 26th.
Yeah, all right.
Tribeca Film Festival had a Goodfellas retrospective.
Hey. The Hoof.
Okay.
Jesus, come on.
Okay. Bunch of the actors were there. You threw me off, you son of a bitch. This is what really I wanted to talk about with this part, is they finally have remastered... from the original negative, supervised by the man, Martin Scorsese. Finally, how many times I want to see this film look beautiful. You buy a DVD, you buy a Blu-ray, you put it on, you're like, oh no.
Did you own the Laserdisc?
I
own
yes,
the Laserdisc. Okay.
I had the Laserdisc, okay. I had the videotape.
We are the few... people out there that owned the Laserdisc players, we knew what director commentaries were 10, 15 years before other people did.
Right.
We were watching the Letterboxd movies before other people were watching them.
Wide angle lens.
We could see it all. We would watch the entire frame, and we were movie lunatics.
Crazy.
And I knew you had it, and I remember getting my copy of Goodfellas on Laserdisc, and I was so fucking pumped.
Oh,
but
God.
That was in 1991.
Yeah.
And, we saw it.
We still had the tube TV.
Yeah, tube TV. And I remember seeing it in 35 millimeter. I saw it three times in the theater.
Nice.
But every time they've released this fucking thing, they haven't cleaned it.
This is it.
And then I bought the Blu-ray, the last Blu-ray they have. I have it over there
still
in my drawer.
Still not remastered.
No, man. It looked like...
depressing.
It looked like crap. It was like the 20th anniversary, and it was just awful.
Yeah.
You told me last week that they were actually redoing Goodfellas.
They are finally releasing...
thank God.
...a remastered version...
oh, it's about time.
...of Goodfellas,
man.
Yeah.
That's going to be so fucking
psyched.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary,
so... did they do anything with the sound, do you know, offhand? Like,
well, I don't have it yet.
Okay.
They've remastered everything.
DTS Master Audio, I know.
DTS Master Audio, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The new Blu-ray. I can't wait.
It comes out... let's see when it comes out.
I want to see the...
it's being released on May 5th. Nice.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh,
that's
my
close.
God, that's around the corner.
That's close.
So we're going to be having a Goodfellas party
God damn
real
right,
soon.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
So we're
Hendry.
Yeah, he wasn't Henry. He was Hendry.
Oh,
fantastic
my God.
Performances.
Tootie.
What do we got for the next... Trailer. We got another trailer lined up.
Yeah, we got a trailer. What's the trailer? What is it?
It is.
I just felt like I was at work for a second. Like my boss.
Yeah, we'll get
like,
to work. Get to work and get that trailer running. No. Here we
All right.
go.
All right.
So we got Southpaw. This is the new one.
Another one I haven't seen, people.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I have seen one thing about this, and that is that.
Directed by Antoine Fuqua.
So, Antoine, Training Day, people, come on.
Excellent, excellent.
What is
I? Look who it's written by. Kurt Sutter.
Give me.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sam Crow, motherfucker. Sam fucking Crow. Although, I don't know about that last fucking episode.
Don't tell me. I didn't see it yet.
You didn't?
No, I'm still
binging.
Oh,
where are you at? What's
you're going to want to talk about it.
No, I'm not going to talk about it. Just tell me where you're at.
Season two. That's it. Season two. Yeah.
People cry with me. I know. Yeah, I know. I don't know. But yeah, look, old boy doesn't watch. We've talked about this. He doesn't watch TV. He watches movies.
Every time I go to put the movie TV theater. Show on, I got to watch a movie. Instead.
And then and he doesn't watch on his
You can't watch it on the phone. It's disrespectful.
Because he's old. He's an old boy. He's an old boy.
I have to make sure I don't upset Quentin Tarantino. I'm not going to watch a movie
on
my...
You know what? Quentin Tarantino can afford...
We'd have to shut the show down.
He is... Besides being a racist fuck, I mean, he shut it down.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Underrated sci-fi film, Dark City. Anyway, back to this.
Underrated... Dark City?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Proyas. Alex Proyas, Dark City.
The Crow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but this is an underrated sci-fi film, Dark City. It's one of the greatest sci-fi noir films.
But where's Dark City coming from?
Shut it down.
Oh, is that what
shut
it?
Shut it down.
That's right. I know.
That's
what
when
you're
they
saying.
Shut the city
that's
down
right,
at night.
Right. Right,
everybody
right,
passes
right,
out. And
right. Well,
Antoine Fuqua.
What do you mean by that?
Southpaw.
I mean, I came from by.
This is. My dad had it.
His dad had it. It's all just my fate.
You believe in fate, boy?
My fate.
No one is born evil, Mickey. It's something you learn. What about your father? How did he die?
Just wanted to throw that out at you, people. Okay, so now we're going over to Southpaw.
Just in case you wanted to hear that.
Seconds of Natural Born Killers. I love that. Wayne Gale. An amazing Tommy Lee Jones. And,
what's so pure about murder?
What's so pure about the 52 people who are no longer
on this planet
because they met you and Mallory? What's so fucking pure about that? How do you do it?
I'm a natural born killer.
Murder? What it's pure.
Is this it?
So we got Southpaw coming up, people. Watch this.
Check it out.
Well, listen, and then go watch as soon as you can. That's what we suggest. Let's see here. I know that he looks like a fucking raging lunatic here compared to how he did in Nightcrawler, where he looked like.
I expected a hard fight, you know. I put my family through a lot.
The more you get hit, the harder you fight. I get it.
Let's go!
Only now you've taken way too many hits before you get off.
You can't fight like that anymore.
Think about her.
I'm gonna tell you something.
I love you.
So predictable.
Man. The light heavyweight champion of the world, Billy Curry.
I wouldn't be here without my wife, Maureen.
Rachel McAdams.
Hey, Billy, why are you leaving so soon?
Come on, keep walking.
Baby, Jake Gyllenhaal.
You ain't never been a real man.
Let that go. Let's go home.
How about I take your belt?
Oh, daddy.
Who would look me in the eye? No.
Antoine Fuqua.
This court is aware of the tragedy your family has suffered, Mr. Hope. Nonetheless, you have chosen to demonstrate dangerous behaviors while having custody
Jake
of your
looks amazing.
Dad?
You need help, Billy. It'll be a year before your suspension is up, which means zero income.
Legal custody of the child shall remain with family services
there.
Until the father can demonstrate the abilities of a responsible
parent. That bothers
parent.
Me.
Please, I don't want to.
I'm sorry, please.
Please, Daddy, I want to stay with you. I want to live with you.
Based on a true story.
You want me to come with you?
No, man. I gotta do this alone.
So what brings Billy Hope to my job?
I'm looking for a
puts
job.
Puts his heart
maybe
into everything.
You couldn't handle the rules here, man.
Fucking Forrest, baby. Forrest Whitaker.
Solid.
Somebody help me, please.
Check out Zulu.
You're mad at me right now.
You don't know anything.
She doesn't want to see you today.
Tell her I love her.
gotta let her hate you so she can get better. I am
forgiving you. Yo,
what?
Let me tell you something.
You have to fight for that title. You think that you can beat
me? He's motherfucking hardcore, dude.
I'm gonna fight again. I'm gonna get my kid back.
What chance is there that Hope can
That's
win?
It. That's the guy from the stream.
The cause is stacked against Hope.
The badass Spanish brother.
Yes, I love him. He's great in that show. He's fantastic.
Glad to see you. Southpaw, motherfucker. All right, Kurt Sutter. Fucking Fuqua.
Wow.
I'm thinking
looks like
rock
lot.
And roll, man.
It looks great.
It looks great. And Gyllenhaal, dude, we got to give it up to him. When doesn't he put it all?
He puts it all out there. He's fantastic.
He looks like a goddamn raging lunatic in that. I mean,
scary. He's
a little bit of a spoiler in the trailer there. It looks like his wife gets killed like 20 seconds into the fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Right?
If it's in the trailer, it's not a spoiler,
I guess,
folks.
Not.
So it's all cool.
So whatever.
Yeah, it looks like the guy's, down on his luck boxer rising, and then he loses his heart. You know, not his heart, you know. Literally, his wife gets, it looks like she gets murdered.
Like she loses her fucking heart, you know, like on the floor. Like,
yeah.
Like it bleeds out
of
her.
Yeah, that's what happens to her. It looks bad. And he's got to reevaluate his life and rise to the top. Looks good.
Yeah,
it looks good. And like we said, he gives his all.
You fucking cock, motherfucker.
Yeah, he gives his all.
He always does. And Nightcrawler, he looked radically different than he did in Nightcrawler. I'll tell you that, man. He looked fucking hairy in that. I didn't see that movie yet. Did you see Nightcrawler?
I only saw it in the theater twice.
Okay, only
twice.
I saw it
at home once.
You only saw it twice. Well, you know what? I saw this three times in the theater. What did you
choose?
I saw this three times today.
Choose a career. Choose a family. Choose a fucking big television.
Yeah.
Choose washing machines, cars, compact displays, and electrical tin openers.
Danny Boyle, baby.
Danny Boyle, the opening to Trainspotting.
Love it.
Renton.
Health, low cholesterol, and dental insurance. Choose fixed interest mortgage repayments.
Choose your friends.
Choose your friends. Choose leisure wear and matching luggage. Choose a three-piece suite on hire purchase and a range of fucking fabrics. Choose DIY and wonder
who
the fuck
you
are
on a Sunday morning.
Sick boy.
Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows.
Scotland.
Fucking junk food into your mouth.
Lewis the Blow.
Choose rotting away at the end of it all, pissing your last in a miserable home, nothing more than an embarrassment to the
Remember that is Lucius Verinus, Tommy.
Nice.
Yes.
Choose
your future. Choose life.
Rome.
Rome. So yeah, Rome.
We love Rome.
Rome, we're going to get into. We're going to do some justice to that show, HBO Rome. We were just having a little debate before the show about Rome versus Game of Thrones. My vote is for Rome each and every time. And I think Old Boy is thinking more. That
I just
we can't
don't
want to make the judgment yet.
Yeah, I don't want to make that decision yet because I love both of these shows.
Which is smart. Yeah, because it's early to say that. Yeah. And we don't even know where, from my understanding, they've actually surpassed what's been written with Thrones so far.
I don't know that to be true, but
I heard they had.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I heard, and you know, I always tell you what I've heard. So, G.R.R. Martin
has this been researched?
Look, I didn't research.
Okay,
the research.
Just checking it out.
I think this is what I think. Movie freaks like yourself and myself have photographic memories when it comes to movie facts. Would you agree to that? Would you say that to be true?
I'd like to think of myself as someone who,
can remember things.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, if somebody was to say something to you about a movie, you just find yourself fucking remembering it, no matter whether you want to or not. Like, you just have always loved them, and somebody brings up a fact about a movie, or you hear something about a movie, or even, like we were talking about before, director's commentaries. You hear something on a director's commentary, it always stays with you whenever
does.
You see
it. It does.
So it's that type of thing. So that's the way I am with stuff that I love, especially movies that I really care about.
Yeah.
And I forgot exactly what I was saying.
You were talking about Game of
Thrones.
Thank
you very much.
You
so let's go back. No, I got it. All you have to do is say that.
Yes.
Now, so this is what I heard. Is this true? I don't know. Maybe. So it's unsubstantiated, but this is what I heard. That he may die.
George R. R.
That's
George
right.
Martin.
Before the fucking books are out, and
yeah.
HBO is nervous. They want an insurance policy.
Right.
They invested a lot of money in these five seasons, and he's supposed to only put out 7 books. And now I've heard maybe he's going to do more than 7 books because they aren't following the pattern. The season 3 ended up being half of book 3.
Yeah.
Season 4 ended up being the second half of book 3. But it also took from book 4.
Right.
So now, I don't know where in the fuck they are. People are dying that aren't dying in the books. People that are supposed to be coming back to life and people that are supposed to be alive in the books
right.
aren't alive in the show.
They are taking some liberties with the book story.
Correct.
I don't know. I did not read the book, but my brother-in-law is a freak with these books.
And he read them?
What's he saying? And he says they're not there yet.
They're not at the end.
And also the only way to tell the story properly for us, you know, for the TV viewers is to kind of like take parts of the, you know, the book and meld them together from, from another angle so that the story can, you know, flow properly as far as the show. It's a very difficult show for someone to just step into and start watching. There's too many main characters.
Okay.
It's just fantastic writing. So, yeah. By the way, that story about George R. Martin dying and what – I think I made that up and told that to you.
No, that's not what it is.
I'm just fucking
So what it is – no, I know you are. And I'm going to tell you why I said that because he wrote out a couple of treatments for HBO and said, look, if I croak and I kick the bucket, this is where I was thinking about going.
Right.
Go nuts. Good luck. Yeah. So what he's doing is he's saying, you know, this is what I had heard. HBO only wants to do 7 seasons. So they're saying 2 more. So we're on 5 now.
Oh no, I'll die.
Yeah, we've only
I'll
seen
die without it.
We've got episodes 1 and 2. So episode 3 for us gets released tonight. And
oh, that's right.
Day of season 5.
It's almost 5 a.m.
It's almost 5 a.m.
So it's
Sunday
good.
Technically.
Oh, great.
So it's the 3rd episode of season 5. That comes out tonight. They're only talking 2 more seasons, and he hasn't even finished the fucking
season. I don't know if I could handle
yet.
It.
I don't know, man. So I don't know.
It's
going
to be tough to get past that.
Yeah, so I read ahead on Wikipedia. Ooh. I did the summaries. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, Jesus, thank God. I don't even want to know. I don't even watch The Coming Attraction.
No, I'm not going to tell you that Daenerys gets on a dragon and flies away and...
That better not
whatever.
Happen.
I'm not going to tell you that.
If that happens, I'll be pissed. I see it starting to unfold on the show, I'm going to be like, I will kill him.
I'm going to go to...
Oh, please don't climb on top of the dragon, Daenerys.
I'm going to hide somewhere. But no, I don't know. You know, I read things. People are... I see what's supposed to be going down. This is catching up with the later part of the books. He's been working on this last book for years now, but I'm sure that the toll, he's co-writing the show also. So I'm sure the toll that this is taking on him is interfering with his writing the novels and probably prolonging the process. I think the novel he was working on now was supposed to have been out already.
Well, he keeps... I heard he put out part of the book so people can read while he's writing it, which is crazy.
Well, that just sounds like fucking sloppiness to me.
I think it's because there's such a demand. I mean, think about what he's done.
I know, but
it's insane.
I know. I think he's also
You can buy
just...
the cookbook from Westeros online in case you want to learn how to cook, you know, lamb leg, like, you know, with Timberwolf.
What? I feel bad for the readers because there are probably people out there that are just like, fuck this HBO show. Fuck it. Give me the next book. Because, you know, book readers are hardcore.
Yeah, you better be careful of these book readers. I ran into one in one of the bookstores, and they pretty serious people.
I bet.
They don't want to hear you talk about it wrong. Like,
no,
you know,
yeah.
You don't have it right.
Yeah, right.
I read the book. It's like, oh, shit.
I know. They're scary. Yeah. I haven't read the book. I cheated.
Scary
I
people.
I don't even try to tell them that.
Yeah, but I understand. I mean, it's just,
people are invested.
I'm the visual guy. I want to see the movie.
Right.
But these people who love the books, it's probably tough for them, you know, because when they change something, they're like, that didn't happen like that.
It wasn't like that.
And that's when you get serious geekdom.
Well, I heard that somebody that we just saw die didn't die.
Oh, no.
Did you see episode 1 yet from 2 weeks ago?
Sure.
Okay.
Mance Rayder.
I heard he's alive. I think he's alive in the books. for a little while.
Is he going to come back later on the show?
No, I don't know.
I'm still alive in the books.
No, I think he's fucking... Remember, he was taken out. But now fucking Jon Snow is like, squlap!
Yeah.
So, I'm also... I'm watching a few other things right
what
now.
You got?
Mad Men. We're three episodes into the final stretch of... I want to say it's season seven? Season seven, probably. I don't know.
Somebody was complaining to me about that. Is it going well? Because I heard like there's scenes where he's laying in bed and you're just hanging with him.
You are just hanging with him. And,
like, when is this show
going
to end?
Well, the thing is it's just, you know, this is he's going through his second divorce now.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking millionaire. They sold the ad company. So many changes I'm noticing. But... when you think about the beginning, I've been a watcher of Mad Men since season one. I heard about the show. I saw a trailer for it, so I tried to catch it on AMC, but they were airing the finale in a few nights. So I got a hold of what I could of the season. I think on iTunes somehow watched it. Then I was able to catch the finale of season one that night. And so I was one of the early people, and I started telling everybody I could about this new show, this Mad Men show. This is fantastic. So when season two came, it was just insane. But then people start catching on, and then AMC becomes this juggernaut. And then I believe it was during season two or three, they started running ads for the show that you're wearing the T-shirt for.
Breaking Bad.
And started talking about this new show that was going to be coming out, and from one of the writers of, I want to say, the X-Files. Vince Gilligan used to work on the X-Files.
Wow.
And you just saw a guy in his underwear in the middle of the fucking desert with a gun. And you didn't know what in the hell the show is about.
Like, just tossed right into the center.
Well, that
of the
was
action.
This trailer. It was like filming now, new show coming soon to AMC, Breaking Bad. And I was
nice.
Like, what the fuck is that all about? And here, that
well, getting,
redefined
well,
TV.
Getting back
man.
To Mad Men, though, you're
so I think
are you still in love with it? Because
yeah,
it sounds
I am.
Like this season is kind of like The Exorcist Part 3.
The thing about the Mad Men is that you the Exorcist. What is that?
Mad Men season 5. I mean 7. The Exorcist Part 3.
The Exorcist Part 3 Take 2. Paul Schaefer's version. Who was the guy? Oh, Rennie Harlan did a version, and then was it Rennie Harlan? Am I right?
Of what? Exorcist?
So there was two versions of The Exorcist Part 4.
Sad.
The beginning. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay, it was called Dominion, right? And
yeah.
And there was called... Exorcist Part 4, one of them was done by Paul Schaefer, and one of them was done by, I want to say, Rennie Harlan, and they were both fucking, they were both so bad, and they were Father Merrin.
The Exorcist Part 3.
No, 3 is William Peter Blatty.
Oh, we're talking about
4. Right.
Oh, God.
Two versions were released of 4.
I don't think I've even seen The Exorcist Part 4.
Really? I saw them both. You would have seen this. You're a movie
part
man.
Part 4?
Part 4 was the beginning, so it's not... So it wasn't even worth going into.
Wow.
Stellan Skarsgård, the father of Vampire Eric in True Blood.
Yeah, sure, I know
the guy
him.
That
I
you're
love
all
him.
Into.
He's fantastic.
Oh, I know. I know you're into him.
Right.
Like heavily.
He's great.
No, I know you I know you have like a thing for him.
Yeah, I loved him in Nymphomaniac.
Did you see who? Yeah. Stellan or Eric? Or
you said,
Alex?
You said Stellan.
I said Stellan.
Yeah, we're talking about Stellan.
I haven't seen Nymphomaniac. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, because, you know, Lars von Trier is such a hack.
No, he's not a hack.
Well, get your ass in gear and watch the fucking movie.
I know,
I
will.
I thought you liked Lars von Trier.
I do, but...
Breaking the Waves.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. It's just... Come on.
You didn't see Breaking the Waves?
No, I haven't. Have you seen Carnival on HBO?
Yeah, I did, and I stopped watching it halfway through.
But that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Come on. Are you kidding?
You're
that's
comparing Carnival to Lars von Trier.
No, I'm just saying that I've seen things that you haven't seen.
The Dogma Manifesto.
What?
This is what
Antichrist, motherfucker. I've seen that.
That was fantastic.
That's right. Melancholia. Yeah. What you got now?
Very nice.
Dogville?
The Kingdom.
Fucking touch me on Dogville.
That's fucking awesome.
Dogville
you
was
said
amazing.
Dogville. You went to Dogville.
Fucking Paul Bent.
What was part one
Bentley?
Of Dogville?
I don't know. I just know that Nicole Kidman, it was some stage play, and she was getting fucking raped, and she was the daughter of a fucking mobster, and in the end it turned out it was true, and he came and he burnt the whole fucking town down. And it was awesome.
But there were no sets. It was just all It was all done on a stage.
And Lars von Trier, at the end of that, I thought, this guy is the fucking man, because that thing tore me to shreds.
It's crazy.
That movie just tore me to shreds. That is a storyteller. He's
actually
fantastic.
That was the first part. The second part was called Manderley.
What?
There's a sequel to Dogville, and it's called Manderley.
Okay.
And Bryce Dallas Howard plays...
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she plays the Nicole Kidman character.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? There was another one?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and Willem Dafoe is in it, because Lars loves Willem, because he's...
Okay, listen.
Willem
Antichrist.
Is just... Oh, my God.
Okay, look.
Yeah, Antichrist.
Be careful. That movie... Oh, I don't know. Who's the chick? Who's the actress?
She is a favorite of...
Of Lars.
Yeah.
I know she's a nympho, and she plays a part in Melancholia also, but she's fantastic.
She does some hairy, hairy scenes in this Nymphomaniac. She plays the main character.
Well, she plays the main character in Antichrist also, and she does something to her body which is not recommended by your GYB. B-O-N? Am I saying that right?
O-B-G-Y-N. Good thing you're not a woman.
I don't have one of those.
Charlotte Gainsbourg is her name.
Charlotte is amazing.
Yeah.
Charlotte props. I can't believe I just said that.
The things that Charlotte does.
Wes, edit out the last 2 minutes. Just a little note when you're reviewing this. Edit that out, because you're going to sound like a fucking idiot.
What, Jesus, the OBGYN thing? I love it.
What did I just say? G-O-B-Y-N?
Something like that. Her goblin. Has Charlotte Gainsbourg been to her goblin lately?
Her goblin.
Yeah. Dude, what about that documentary you were just talking to
me
about?
So I was watching last night. I'm going to smoke a cigarette because I don't give a fuck.
Because
I'm a smoker.
Smoky.
You know why I don't give a fuck?
Smoke dog.
Because it's Friday, motherfucker. Why don't you talk?
You ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do. I'm gonna get you high today.
My understanding
I'll talk about it for a minute.
All right,
that's fine.
Would you please do that?
Yeah. So on April 20th, Pot Day.
Talk to me. Oh, get some sirens out.
Yeah, there's something going on. There's always
pot
something
day.
Going on in New York. We're in Queens right now.
That's right, baby.
So on Pot Day, 420, the Westbury Stadium Drive-In was showing the movie, the classic comedy Friday. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. Let me tell you something.
Machine Gun Chris Tucker. He is like a fucking machine gun. Janet Jackson. Control!
The way he spits out things.
I know.
I mean, it was fantastic to be in the theater and be with all the people that love the film and, you know, laugh my ass off. I just have
That's
to tell
great.
You, it was fantastic.
What wasn't fantastic? Would
props
you tell me,
to
old FK. Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
You really want to know?
Well, you told me before, and I want you to repeat it to the audience so that they're aware of this travesty.
This
That's
wasn't
what I think.
Fantastic. I paid good money to go see a movie that I've seen at least 30 times. Yes, 30 times. Friday. So we go there, and on the screen, it's a pretty big theater. It looks like they are projecting a DVD.
Bad news. Not even
a Blu-ray. Not even a remastered Blu-ray. We're talking about a DVD. And I'm like waiting for them to load the film reels. I'm thinking they sent over the original film of Friday. I'm going to see it.
35mm negative.
I can't wait.
Bang.
I'm so psyched. Then all of a sudden it starts. It's like in mono 2.0. What? Yeah. Thank you. So after I sat through, because I actually, they didn't show, they just started the movie. They didn't, you know, it wasn't like, and I didn't want to leave because I didn't want to miss anything.
Well, how did it look on the big screen? So,
anyway, it looked like a little tiny little square.
You didn't want to miss anything?
Yeah, I didn't want to miss anything.
Is that like a thing?
Yeah,
that's
a thing. I couldn't, even though I saw the movie 30 times, I didn't want to get up and miss anything. And about 10 minutes in, that's when I started eating popcorn, but we'll get back to that. So after the movie, I went to the manager and I said, are you the manager? And the guy was like, yeah, can I help you? And I said, is it possible that I just sat in a movie theater, I paid money to see a movie I saw 30 times, and you guys put the DVD on the screen? Is that really what I just saw? And he said, well, no, it wasn't the DVD. I said, well, what was it? He said, it was a streaming. Streaming? Streaming? So it didn't cost you anything to show me the movie.
That's what it's come down to.
Yeah, you took my money. Yeah.
You streamed it.
They streamed the movie on the screen.
You turned Netflix on and threw it up on a fucking screen and made us all watch it.
Why did I have to do that? Why did they have to do that to me? I went there to put my money down happily to sit through this movie. All I have to say, Quentin, if you're listening, you were talking about this. Yeah. You said something about this on your Django thing.
He's an advocate for the film, man.
Imagine if you're sitting in a theater and all of a sudden it pauses like a DVD and you realize you're sitting there watching a DVD or something like that, you said, and that's why you're a purist and you shoot film. I love it. Keep doing it. I hope everybody keeps doing it. Please just keep doing it, because I don't want to. I really can't believe this happened. Why don't you open up movie theaters that are purist movie theaters?
Oh, please, man. I was talking to you about this the other week about where are all the movie houses, and I was doing some research this week on 4K. On people are you and I were talking.
Yeah.
Actually, earlier this week about, you know, okay, so they're going to, we were talking about the Goodfellas. That's why I was really happy to hear the news that they, in fact, did go back to the 35mm negative. They did do what Criterion does, which Criterion, how great is Criterion?
Great company, really works hard to do the right thing with the films.
Please just get a sound department, Criterion. Other than that, we love you guys.
And Criterion, please do Friday. Put Friday as part of your Criterion collection. It deserves to be there. It's one of the funniest films of all time.
But my feeling is that why are they? I just lost my train of thought. Why don't you do better sound, Criterion?
Yes.
Why don't you do better sound?
Yeah,
just
they have that like DTS Master Audio 1.0.
Yeah, all the time. Just come on. I mean, the pictures look great. The game. You did a great job with the game, Criterion.
Yeah,
you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Anyway.
Moving on. What I'm trying to say here is I know Christopher Nolan's a big advocate for film also.
Yeah.
And movie houses are dwindling. And I know that now they are sending out most movies digitally. I believe that there's very few theaters anymore that even have film projectors. I mean, I think that's actually accurate.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first movies to go out all digital in distribution was The Wolf of Wall Street, actually.
Really?
Which was kind of shocking, because I saw that we were arguing about it a couple of weeks ago.
Don't be a wise guy.
No, listen, pal. I saw that in the movie theater. So that was actually projected digitally, and I had no fucking idea.
No, you didn't. No,
I did see it.
I see the ticket.
Oh, I swear to God I did. I saw it in the movie theater. That is part of my hatred for that movie. I don't hate it. I think that Leo said, listen, I fucking did your fucking movies.
No way.
Okay, you're going to do one of mine. I want this done. I want to be this fucking guy, and I want you to direct it. It's not going to have any street cred unless you direct it and we get T. Winter to write it. And somehow Leo pulled it off, and now nobody's talking about it anymore because it was kind of crap.
It was taken from a book. Martin Scorsese crafted one of the greatest black comedies of all time. That is The Wolf of Wall Street.
Let's be honest
here. Every character in this film is knocking it out of the park. Every character is an amazing film.
Let's be honest. The movie went nowhere. It went nowhere.
It went everywhere.
It went nowhere. It just went nowhere.
It went everywhere. It was nominated for Best Picture.
The problem is,
people have been nominated for Best Actor. You're out of your mind.
You know what Best Picture means to me? Where is Malcolm X? Why wasn't that given Best Picture?
Yeah.
Where is JFK? Why wasn't that given Best Picture? Where is Goodfellas? Why wasn't Goodfellas given Best Picture? Why wasn't Pulp Fiction given Best Picture?
Great films.
I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Fuck
but
Best
just
Picture.
Being nominated.
Fuck
no,
Best Picture.
Just being nominated.
And why wasn't The Matrix given Best Picture? Why wasn't it even nominated for Best Picture? Okay.
They weren't so liberal.
What I'm trying to say is this. Okay. So, getting back to my point.
Geriatric coffee table bullshit.
Oh, what the fuck was I trying to fucking say? Film? What was I talking about? Digital film?
Yeah,
okay, 4K.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the argument we were having. I was hoping. I knew that they were going to do restoration of some type for Goodfellas, you had said. What I was afraid of is that we're going to do one of those mastered in 4K things. People, don't be fooled by this. 4K is a fraction of the resolution of film. Film, if it was to be broken down into resolution, can't be measured by pixels, by 4 million pixels. They said that if it was to be measured, it would probably be somewhere in the 10 million pixel range, meaning everything that's being mastered in 4K right now is not future proof. It's only proof for it's only good for right now. And in 10 years, when 10K is the thing, they're going to have to redo all of these movies. So if they're considering these 4K masters that they're making, if they're considering these to be the definitive versions of the films preserved digitally, we're being cheated out of a ton of resolution that's going to be really apparent. They're already working on the 8K technology in Asia, and they've got it pretty close, which is why I don't believe anybody should be buying 4K TVs yet, because 8K is already being talked about and developed. Listen.
So I was just watching my 4K TV, and
were you watching anything in 4K on the 4K TV?
This is what I was watching. I was watching Elysium.
And
Elysium's Blu-ray disc, Elysium's Blu-ray disc was mastered in 4K.
What's the fucking outfit? And why is he wearing the fucking outfit? Why?
Not telling
Tell
you.
Me. What the fuck do you want from me? Why is
How
he wearing that outfit?
How fucking badass is that outfit?
He gets it drilled into his fucking body. Yeah. I can't figure out because why. He's dying.
In order for him to make it into Elysium.
Are you telling me?
In order for
you
him
were
to
refusing
make it
to tell me
Elysium,
this. Tell me.
He needed to put on this outfit.
That's what I was asking you.
That
why wouldn't you just say this 2 weeks ago?
That I am not going to tell you the actual function of
up.
The outfit.
I'm going to look it
no,
up.
No.
I'm not doing it now. Because I'm sensitive
no,
to the time.
It was mastered in 4K, and it looked amazing. Whatever that means, the picture looked amazing. Somebody who had never seen it, I think, looked at my TV watching it and said, that looks 3D, and I didn't even have any 3D on it. It just looked amazing.
I think that if you look at something that's mastered in 4K now on a high def TV, that's a good thing. I think for now, but I'm talking for the future. I'm also an advocate for film. I'm an advocate for digital also, but I think that we need to be future proofing this stuff. I think we need to be mastering at 10K, man. Do you know that here's a little fact for everybody. The Star Wars trilogy that's out now, the of the original three movies. Do you know that those are really subpar versions of the film? Those were not remastered at all. Those versions are all from the 2009 or maybe it was the 1997 re-releases, the special edition re-releases. George Lucas went in and mastered them in 1080p.
Right.
So the versions that you're watching actually are about 15 years old. So when they were released on Blu-ray and everybody was like jumping for fucking joy.
Yeah.
When you watch those movies, that's done on old technology. Especially now, the way that this technology moves.
So sad that they're doing this to us, making us buy things.
That's
and like,
what I mean.
I'm
Star Wars.
So done, though.
How do you not redo the entire Star Wars? Remember, they were going to redo Star Wars, and they were going to make it into 3D, and then they abandoned the project halfway through.
Yes.
There was a big Bill Hunt of the Digital Bits. Remember, you know Bill Hunt. You've read his stuff.
Yeah.
He's fucking fantastic, and he's brilliant on this. He had a really big complaint about this also. All right, so rock and roll. Let's go. I'm getting a note. I'm just going to read you the note because we tell the truth here. But
you fuck.
I just got a note from
old boy, baby.
Old boy. And that is, let's move on. Okay.
Well,
What are you talking about? What else? Let's go. Quick. Mad Men. It's good. It's always going to be good.
Exorcist 3.
Is it great?
Is it Exorcist 3? What's
Fuck
the answer
the Exorcist.
To that?
I'm just Exorcist, saying. It's the Exorcist
it sounds
Part
like a bit
4.
Of,
and
oh,
the Exorcist Part 4 was done twice. They did. Paul Schrader wrote a script. They didn't like it. They So
Mad Men is The Exorcist Part 4?
No, so what I'm trying to say is there's two versions of The Exorcist out there, and they're both fucking awful. They redid the script for The Exorcist Part 4. They had Rennie Harlan come in and direct it. It was terrible. Then they had Paul Schrader come in and do his version for the script that he had written, and it's all about Father Merrin when he first encountered the demon in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that was horrible fucking also. So they were both horrible. Moving on from that, Mad Men is in its final days, and we're seeing some stuff go down, and it's interesting, but it's kind of sad because, you know, it's the end, man.
Well, eventually I will watch this series from beginning to end.
It looks great on Blu-ray. They shoot it on 35mm film.
It looks solid.
Yeah, it does.
I want to see it.
And the writing is fantastic. Matthew Weiner is an amazing writer. He's got an amazing team of people there. That's a standout show. It really is.
Okay, Mad Men.
Mad Men. Let's rock and roll. What do we got? What else are we talking about here?
I think we should wrap up this session and, you know.
Okay, fine.
Because, you know.
That's really cold.
I know.
But wasn't there something else we were going to talk about?
We talked about a lot of stuff.
Atari documentary.
Oh.
Okay, so there's a really good documentary out there. I've only watched half of it. It's about Atari, about the Atari 2600, about the rise and the fall of Atari and how it's really the base of why computers are so prevalent in our society today. I started watching half of it last night. I got to tell you, it was fucking really good. And it was creepy to look at these Atari 2600s, man. To look at the pictures of them and to look at the games. And did you own an Atari 2600 back in the day?
You know what?
You had an Intellivision. You had Coleco. I remember.
That just tells you that I wasn't privy to the Atari.
No.
My parents,
Coleco was the better of them. What do you mean?
The Coleco didn't come out until way after Atari.
But Coleco was hardcore compared to Atari.
Everybody had an Atari for like a year and a half. I had shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I had Pong.
Your ColecoVision. All I wanted to do was go over to your house.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And play with that goddamn
Coleco
8-button remote.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. With the two buttons on the side and the knob on the top.
You had that round knob you had to hold in your hand like you're holding your phone.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like that. It was the future.
ColecoVision,
Coleco new.
Commodore 64. Okay, so what's next? What's last?
The other documentary that's out there is called Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Untold Story of Canon Films.
Canon Golden Globus.
Yes. Listen, this is an interesting thing. They put out a lot of movies in the 80s and, you know, in the 90s, the early 90s. The Canon Group, you remember that beginning when you're about to see some, you know, cheap action film that just, you know, you were a kid or you were young and you watched it and it was so cool. I mean, these guys put out movies that were cool. You know, they just threw that stuff out there. I mean,
Chuck Norris, American Ninja,
Revenge of the Ninja, Shokasugi. I mean, this guy, Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, Ninja 3, The Domination. These films are, they're like crappy guilty pleasures, you know, that you just, Breaking 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah,
Electric Boogaloo. I guess is where the name for this documentary comes from.
And don't forget classics like Death Wish 2, Death Wish 3, Death Wish 4, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Check it out, Invasion USA.
I remember The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 coming out.
Dennis Hopper.
I remember it being really... Was he in it?
Dennis Hopper.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, don't forget Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Over the Top. Yeah. What was the theme song for that got big?
Oh, my God. There was a big theme song.
Might have probably Survivor.
It's by the same group that did the theme song for all the Rocky movies.
I know.
I don't remember what it is.
I know John Cafferty started working with him for Cobra. Cobretti, Marion Cobretti.
There you go. There you go.
Crime's a disease. I'm the cure.
I love it.
That's it. I'm going to give you something else here. Penny Dreadful coming out soon. I feel like Showtime and Cinemax and HBO should pay me. Penny Dreadful is coming out soon, season one. If you guys haven't seen it, it's awesome. It's a horror show. I hear they're making season two a lot meatier. Dr. Frankenstein's in it. Fucking Dracula's in it.
Is Abraham Van Helsing in it?
They brought up Van Helsing. Oh, yes, cool. Dr. Van Helsing. The Strain, part two, season
I
two.
I love The Strain.
Shooting. And,
I love The Strain.
Yeah, coming back soon.
Yeah.
The Nick, season two. Have you seen the first season of The Nick?
I have not, but I have it all ready to go.
Dude, fantastic. Each episode was directed by Soderbergh. Awesome.
He's a fantastic director.
He's fantastic.
Clive Owen.
What Clive Owen does in this show, he's a heroin addicted. He's a heroin addicted surgeon in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s in a New York hospital. And he's fantastic. The show is amazing.
So is he like a doctor during the times of like gangs of New York?
He kind of is. Yeah.
Scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah, take out your liver with this spoon.
Well, that's the thing. There's really not much anesthetic at that point. They don't really clean.
They're sucking out your guts. But dude, sucking out your guts.
You cannot take your eyes off of this. And he's so addicted to this heroin. And at the end of the fucking season one, they put him in a hospital for rehab because they found this amazing cure for heroin addiction that helps. And the last shot of season one, they show you.
What's the cure? A gun? Put it to your head?
It's cocaine.
Oh, my God.
No. Is it cocaine?
Is
he a cokehead? He's a cokehead.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
They give him heroin.
Heroin is what it
better.
Is.
Yeah, right.
Or it's the other way around. I don't remember. But either way,
Huey Lewis got
awesome.
A new drug now.
Oh, that's right. Huey Lewis.
That's what he's talking about in the song. You need it. I want a new drug.
Yep.
And they're giving it to him.
All right. The power of love, baby.
You sick.
The power of love. It's the power of love.
You know what? Don't talk bad about Huey. He's got some good stuff out there, Huey Lewis.
I think you boys are just too loud.
Props to Huey Lewis in the news.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Props. All right. So talking like a machine gun, let's go on to something else. I gave you a little bit of Penny Dreadful. So season two is coming. Strain 2 coming. Mad Men, rock and roll. Bates Motel people. This is getting so fucking good. Again, it's a retelling of Norman Bates and his mom, Norma. It is on A&E. It is season 3 now. We are in the middle of it. Everybody that I can't say this, so it doesn't matter. But there's a person from Sons of Anarchy that's in the show that dies. You're going to find out about it soon, old boy. And
I have to say Freddie Highmore, he looks like a young Anthony Perkins.
I'm going to show you a fucking picture of what he looks like this week.
But what about them?
Well, they're going to need to fucking start watching some of the shit I'm talking about, man.
If you guys have like some kind of thing to look at, look up Freddie Highmore.
And I'll tell you this, before you start commenting on my foul mouth, which I know some people are going to do soon. And I know it's bad.
You got a fucking potty mouth.
I know I fucking do. But before you do, just start watching some of the shows and I'll start toning down my language. That's a promise.
Yeah, when you start freaking giving Quentin Tarantino props, then
I'll give him props. Pulp was great. Jackie Brown was pretty good.
Inglourious Basterds.
Lewis, where's the car? Where's the car, Lewis?
No, that's the entrance. That's the entrance to the mall. Jackie Brown.
I like
it better when they're leaving and he doesn't know where to go and she goes, no, that's where the food court is. That's towards the food court.
He fucking shoots her.
That's fucking awesome. De Niro. Yeah.
Daredevil, okay. Rock and roll. Okay. Now look real quick. I'm on episode 6 or 7 of Daredevil. Netflix's Daredevil. Charlie Cox plays the main character. Fucking great. But what really stands out for me is that in the last 10 seconds of episode 3, Vincent D'Onofrio shows up as the main bad guy, and his name is Wilson Fisk. And
Private Hoyle.
He is so badass, dude.
Yeah.
He is just so what he can do just with his body, with his face.
Yeah.
He's just one of those rare actors. Benicio, Clive Owen, Tom Hardy, one of those guys.
Yeah.
You just love watching them. Gary Oldman, Mickey Rourke, man.
Yeah, but Vincent doesn't do enough.
He doesn't do enough.
Too much of the TV. He signed on for that Law and Order stuff.
Look, I don't watch any Law and Order stuff. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. But I can tell you that this, Rosario Dawson is in it. I don't know her name offhand, but she was a vampire in True Blood. Did you watch True Blood?
Oh, you're talking about the redhead girl.
She's in it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, she's in it. Yeah. And it's great? No. Is it good? Vincent D'Onofrio elevates it to fucking really good.
Well, it's building towards something, you know. Yeah, you gotta tell a story.
It is, and I love that Netflix thing where they give it all to you in one shot. So I'm digging it, people. I mean, I'm just telling you, for whatever it's worth. I don't know if you listen to me, but if you do, that's just check it out, man. I like Daredevil. I like what I'm seeing so far. Green Inferno. Just give me something quick.
Yeah,
what do you
got? I
just
want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, please do. What do you got?
I just have this. I just feel for Eli Roth. I mean,
why? Why
he made this film?
He did,
and the film is like an homage to all of the Italian cannibal films. I mean, we're doing some deep cuts here. Ruggero Deodato, who did Cannibal Holocaust, which was like the first, the original Blair
Witch
Project.
Is he the one with the hot daughter?
No.
Who's that? D'Argento?
Dario Argento?
That guy.
Yeah, no, no.
Where'd she go after XXX? Where'd she go?
She's in a bunch of crappy films that her father made. I mean, all due respect to Dario Argento, I'm not a big fan of his newer stuff.
Okay.
I think he's like lost his way. But getting back to
Green
Inferno.
What about Park Chan-wook? What is he up to? What's he doing? What's the last thing he's done?
He's my father.
I know he is. What did you think about the remake of Old Boy?
That's we got to do that on another show.
I know, but I just want to know what you think.
I can't do that.
I just fast.
You know that I'm too passionate to deal with that right now. I can't even handle
I like or I don't like.
But I need...
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Siskel Ebert. Don't scratch the beard. Just give me a Siskel or Ebert. Thumbs down?
I say one thumb up, one thumb down.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
Okay, so it's a really tough thing.
Spike,
you know?
Why did you do that? Okay, go on.
But I also like Spike Lee. But back
I love Spike. I love
back
Spike.
Back to Eli Roth. He got
D, motherfucking D.
He did this film.
Okay.
And like I said, it's an homage to the cannibal films, but it looked pretty cool. The trailer's hardcore. Something happened with money during the production.
It's a couple of years ago that he did it.
Yeah.
I remember the
2013. I don't know when he filmed it, but I know he filmed it somewhere in like, you know, in the Amazon. He actually filmed it with a tribe of people that don't leave the mountain, don't leave the forest, you know, like these people are hardcore. And he filmed this movie. And next thing you know, there's some kind of problem with money in the production company that actually made the film with him. And his film is now basically stuck in hell. It's not coming out. I don't know where it is. Please, everybody, we got to do something. We got to get this movie out.
We got to help them out.
Horror fans, the horror genre suffers enough. We need to get some more stuff out there. We need to get some good stuff. Eli Roth, he's a dedicated horror filmmaker. Trust him. I want to see what he's done. I want to see this movie come out. I hope that...
Justice for him. Justice for Eli,
somebody,
please.
Come on. We got to start like a petition. Get this movie out. Get this movie out. The Green Inferno.
Get it out of the hands of the people that are locking it up. Get it out there into the world.
Exactly.
I remember seeing the trailer for it like a year ago, and I remember thinking by the end of the trailer, this is fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah.
These people go on a humanitarian mission to go into, you know, someplace in South America somewhere, or I don't know where they're going, and their plane crashes and they get captured by cannibals. Fuck.
It looked just fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But it looked like a hardcore movie. And dude, Hostel? I think that jacked up everybody. You know? I think that just announced... It just announced the new regime in horror. You know, it really did. Once he was around. So... But...
I think what we need to do right now is we need to go back to the beginning.
Let's go back to the Matrix and wrap this up. Say that... So
Neo,
final thoughts? What
Neo,
are we thinking?
A reflection of Jesus Christ, obviously.
If you're not a
Christian, you're thinking, you know, whatever it may be, he's a god.
It's an anagram for one.
And he's come back
Neo,
to,
one. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, one, right?
He's Neo, the one. I mean, he is the one.
He's the one.
Oh, Neo is, yeah. It means
yeah,
one,
Neo,
right,
one.
Yes.
Right. Like, if you mix around the letters.
I think, does it also mean beginning?
It might be, beginning.
I think it might be beginning
Neo,
as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, the film is just fantastic. If you haven't seen The Matrix,
I don't know if it has a lot of respect anyway.
It's possible.
Yeah, right, I don't know if you haven't.
Or if you're raising children and you want to... deep in their mind. Throw that on. Throw that on.
Very important. We're advocating it highly. We're making it the subject of this podcast.
You know, recently, just as a really crazy thing about The Matrix, I don't know who it is, if it's the AFI or somebody. The Matrix is now a film that is going to be preserved and locked away. The film reels are going to be locked away because
the National Library of Congress.
Yeah, exactly. In case there's like an earthquake or a gigantic fire that destroys the world,
they choose.
They will still
films.
Have the Matrix.
Yeah, they choose.
It will, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
amazing.
They have actually a pretty interesting archive. That's a pretty interesting thing too. That's good. The Matrix. So they're recognizing it. You know.
Yeah, that's serious, man. That's right there.
It's very serious, and it's good to hear. Are they preserving Vertigo? I think so. And Citizen Kane, I think so. I think they're probably doing that. Don't you think that they are?
They definitely are.
It's important to me because I love Vertigo.
Are. They definitely are. But
are they preserving True Romance?
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know. You know, what do you think?
This is what we're going to do.
Tell me what we're going to do.
We're going to end the show.
Okay.
And then the next time that we start the show,
okay,
we're going to talk about another movie, but then we're going to get back to whether or not we found out if they're preserving True Romance, because Clarence fucking Worley and all of the people that are in that film and Alabama and Dick Ritchie and all those people that need to be preserved. Because Vincent Cocotti, come on. I mean, we got so much going on there. Anyway, look.
Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah. Oh, Bronson Pinchot.
Fucking Tom Sizemore.
You know.
Little Christopher Penn.
Yeah.
Right?
Who God the rest. Fuck? Who the fuck is Dick?
You want me to suck his dick?
Oh no! Who the fuck is Dick?
When he's driving around with that chick blowing him, and all that coke great. Fucking swears all over his face.
You fucking whore! That's just great.
After all I've done for you, you fucking whore! Oh my God! And then James Gandolfini, God bless, God rest, James.
You want to stick it in me? Stick it in, Daddy.
Oh
come
my
on, stick it in
God.
Me.
That was our introduction to Tony Soprano. And
oh my God,
seriously,
vicious.
Dodge this.
Yeah. Listen.
So look, just it's very important that we let you guys know about. A little Matrix chain gun action for you while we
the bullets
while we leave.
Flying.
Yeah, the bullets are flying and the nice slow mo shots and then the
beautiful
all that great stuff. So listen, this is Wes.
And I'm old boy.
And we love you guys.
We love you.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to us vent.
You will hear more of us. You can fucking guarantee that. We're not going anywhere. Just prepare yourselves. We're going to break every rule that's out there.
This is true.
And we're going to try to get to you every week. That's the plan, man. That's the plan, Stan. Go to voicesfilm.com. Say thank you to That'll Play for being so fucking awesome. That'llplay.com. Go over, check out their website, listen to their podcast weekly. My cousin Matt Candela and co-host John Nuzzi. And for this week, we're going to sign off. And we're going to say later on, y'all.
Ciao.
Take it easy. Rock out.
Out.